What is up? Welcome back to Tomahawked. I'm your host, Rob Fox, joined as always by Dan Holloway. We were going to live watch a game on Wednesday, but that game was rained out against the White Sox, or snowed out, allegedly.
I don't know if it's raining or snow. It was supposed to snow today, but who knows? Which is kind of shitty because one of the – I guess it's like 2 weeks before the All-Star break, so it's not too bad, but one of the only off days we have in the first half of the season is going to get eaten up by that. So
it's a little – the only, I guess, upside to it – this is already our second rain delay of the year is, I guess, because the Phillies game was rained out on Thursday, that nuked one of our only off days for like the first month and a half. So we kind of, I guess, get that back with the White Sox rain out. But yeah, it's going to eat us up later. The silver lining of that, though, which again sucks because A, I had them in a parlay. The odds were about as big as they could have been. I think the Braves were like -380 to win, so it wasn't necessarily a valuable leg, but it felt like with Strider on the mound, a leg that was for sure going to hit. But now have a not necessarily big, but interesting and fun weekend series against the NL champs, the Diamondbacks, in Arizona, I believe. Now Strider start gets pushed back. Everyone gets pushed back. So our top of the rotation is lined up against their bottom of the rotation. Should be interesting to see how we handle a good team facing the back of their rotation, kind of like a potential like wild card matchup or first round if we get a bye and they don't, you know, we face the back of their rotation type of situation.
Yeah, it should be interesting to see this. You know, it's been the performance has been okay so far this year. Nothing to scream about. I'm glad with the starting pitching so far. Mostly good. Strider had some issues. I don't know that he's found his efficiency yet. I mean, that I don't know how you even say the dude's name. Crochet, the guy from the White Sox that pitched, was very efficient by throwing, and so was Reynaldo Lopez, by the way.
Yeah.
By throwing fastballs right under the hands, basically.
Good day to do it.
I mean, it's like, yeah, any day is a good day to do that.
Yeah.
Right? So what it generates is a lot of weak contact early in counts, and pop-ups and soft ground balls, which I think could really help Strider. Like, I really feel like when he figures that part out and has a little more command of the inside part of the zone, it's going to be a real problem for folks. Yeah. But he doesn't have that yet. Charlie Morton looked great. He's 1,000 years old. He doesn't care. Reynaldo Lopez looked great.
Both White Sox starts, but yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah, Max Fried, I don't know why they pulled him so early. Maybe there's some conversation about how bad that umpire was, and we're not going to...
I mean, that was the worst missed call I've ever seen in my life. Like, I've seen a lot of bad calls. I think, I forget who, maybe Fangraphs does the worst calls of the year every year, and like I think, I don't know how you top that on opening weekend for balls and strikes.
Yeah. But yeah, Strider looked good in his start still.
Strider looked good. I think the main thing with Strider that I'm still worried about is, like you said, he was, and dude, this is kind of like a dumb thing to say because he's fantastic, but he was kind of like same old Spencer Strider, where it's a struggle to get to the sixth.
Yeah.
For five innings, he's more or less untouchable, gave up two runs, which is fine. We won the game. But yeah, I mean, it's so difficult for him to not throw a 20-pitch inning, I feel like.
Yeah, he gets a lot of swings and misses and a lot of... So when you miss middle, high, or away, or even if you hit your spot, but it's a foul ball, or the guy makes contact, it's typically a foul ball, right?
Yeah.
They're late on it outside and they foul it off to the right or left, or it's high and they foul it back or off to the side or something. But again, when you put that ball just under the chest, on the hands, in the strike zone, high and in like that, at 100 miles, 97 to 100 miles per hour. We're seeing it all over the place in the league the last couple of years. People can't hit that shit. There's a couple of dudes in baseball that can hit that pitch, and it's two of them are on our team, Acuna and Michael Harris.
Yeah.
Most people cannot hit that pitch, and it turns into weak contact early in counts. I think that's really something that he needs to to start focusing on a little bit more.
It seems like with him too, one of the reasons I think his pitch counts get high and he goes deep into a lot of counts is that this is totally just feel. I'd have to look up the stats, which there are stats on it, but it feels like he always has like a pitch per at bat that is a totally obvious ball.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Wasted, like, yeah.
Completely so, wasted.
Back in the day in the 90s, people used to use that phrase waste pitch all the time, and Greg Maddux would get on to him and say it's a purpose pitch, right? Like you're setting up the next pitch, or maybe you're setting up two pitches from now.
Right.
Maybe I have so for Maddux it was easier because he's pitching to contact, I guess, but he would set guys up at bats in advance, to be honest, but let's just say within one at bat, two or three pitches in advance. So he would see the way the guy swung at a low and outside fastball on an 0-0 count. It's like, all right, he's definitely not going to be able to hit this. If he doesn't know it's coming, he might just take it in general. So he'll throw two more pitches, maybe balls,
mm-hmm.
right? And then throw that pitch again and get a weak ground ball, right? That's, and Strider's a smart kid, very competitive too. I think he can figure this shit out. So, you know.
It doesn't even feel like he's, because you do see a lot of pitchers do it where they're just like, let's see if this asshole chase it.
Mm.
It feels like one is still getting away from him every at bat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just like he loses a little bit of control or whatever. Like, because I don't think that he, I do think he's too competitive. I don't think he would just be like, I don't think he's going to fart a pitch away
no.
in an at bat. That doesn't seem on brand for him. I think he's still just a little unwieldy. And, you know, if you face, That's really where the I think a lot of the efficiency stuff comes in, right? Because if you face 20 batters and you have a wasted pitch every batter, one wasted pitch every batter, that's 20 fucking pitches.
Mm, that's an inning at least that you're
yeah.
taking off the back end at
yeah.
least. Yeah, it's weird. It's you know, when you right now he's got the highest all time. Strikeouts per nine inning. He hasn't.
Yeah.
He doesn't qualify anything because he hasn't been in the league that long. But I think he can learn some shit from Chris Sale, who is the leader all time in strikeouts per.
Oh,
nine
really?
Inning. Yes. He's got the highest K per nine inning ever, and this is a guy who, you know, before he started getting injured from 2012 until, let's see, until 2017, so a good 6-year run with one in the middle where he missed four or five starts, 200 innings every single year, right? A guy that he's got a high strikeout rate, but he's still racking up innings like that.
Yeah,
probably a lot to learn from him, to be honest.
Because it's just not like people are squaring him up, or that his stuff can be squared up. So yeah, man, attack more, or really, I think it's more control, like. Control.
He is attacking a lot, but
yeah.
he's attacking in places where guys can foul the pitch off.
Mm-hmm.
If you bury it on their hands, you're not fouling that pitch off.
Yeah.
You're either going to take it because it sucks, right, and you don't want to fucking have your hands ringing for the next 2 days, or you're going to swing and pop it up, ground it out, whatever.
Yeah,
it's a like you're out. He's got good out pitches now. That's the curveball looks great at one start, but the curveball looks great against lefties. That's especially who it's for. So that's good. But yeah, I mean, he's 25, so.
Actually, so I'm going to look into this more, in the future. Fangraphs published an article today about foul to whiff ratio for pitchers. And I think that's probably something too. Cause again, it could be with Strider, it does seem like, man, they always get to one or yeah. Like I said, he kind of throws one 10 feet high and it's, you know, he wastes enough pitches or the batter's able to get just enough barrel on it. Again, you leave the game an inning or two sooner than you should. Sale looked great, I thought. We didn't win the game, obviously, but that's as happy as I could have possibly been with Chris Sale. I always forget, because I don't watch a lot of Red Sox games, let alone White Sox games before that he's just like a skeleton person.
Yeah, I mean, he's 6'5", and he weighs 110 pounds, I think.
It's
yeah, it's a weird body.
It is like it's just like his uniform feels ill fitting.
Mm-hmm.
But he was great. Freed, I'm not worried about. He's Max Freed. And then Morton, like we said, Morton and Lopez, they faced the White Sox. But Morton again, you know, you never know with Charlie Morton. So that was nice to see. Lopez, cool. I don't really care because I don't think he's going to be playing the whole season one way or the other.
No, he'll probably be a long reliever after a couple months, I would guess. Right. Which is, I mean,
just get us.
It's great to have, though. He comes out of the gate and has four or five good starts, and then you want to bring up one of the other guys, Smith Shauver or somebody like that.
Waldrop, maybe.
Waldrop or both, maybe, yeah. Right? And then you go into the playoffs and you have a dude who you know for a fact, when you're coming down on these short rest days, you know for a fact Reynaldo Lopez can go out there and start a game for you and get you five innings, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that's that you don't see that on major league rosters that much, because today the White Sox were supposed, they got so lucky today. Today was a bullpen game for them.
Yep.
They got really lucky today.
Yep.
Because this team against that bullpen, they would have scored 15 or 20.
Oh, my God.
Runs,
that was right? Another, by the way. So we were talking before the show started. I made a quick bet today. You guys won't get to take advantage of it. Hopefully it hits. Juan Soto was plus money for over 1.5 bases. You know who else was plus money today for over 1.5 bases? Matt Olson.
Oh, yeah.
On a bullpen game?
Yeah.
Come on.
He's at least going to get walked once, if and probably hit a home run, to be honest, in that,
like, I was all over that. Obviously it got washed because of the game, which sucks. Also, another thing that blows, Sean Murphy out for, I mean, I don't think they're gonna rush him back.
There's no need to. I mean, Trump is an okay hitter. He's what you expect out of a catcher hitting wise, mm-hmm. right? Probably gonna finish, if you gave him 500 at bats, he would finish somewhere in the 230 to 240 range, I would guess. He hasn't seen that many at bats. He's only got 100 at bats as a major leaguer, but very good game caller, very good defensively, right? So that's nice. And then having Travis d'Arnaud, obviously, that's why he's on the roster, is in case something like this happens. It's everybody's got their own strategy. Like, we're going to carry an extra bullpen guy, or we're going to carry an extra this. Carrying three catchers, well, we don't carry three catchers, but having three major league ready catchers on your 40-man roster is something that everybody does. But no, I don't think anybody's got
two starters,
the quality backup that we do,
this
obviously.
It's honestly very interesting. I kind of think d'Arnaud was just like, you know, I'm 11 years into my career at this point as a professional, like at the major league level, like, fuck it, dude. I'd rather be on a team that wins and go start for the Nats or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I kind of think that's where he was thinking, because Murphy is supposed to be our primary for sure. He was the starter of the All-Star game last year, had a great first half.
Well, he's other than batting average, he's better than d'Arnaud at everything.
Yeah.
Right? He's slow as shit. So he's not, I don't know. D'Arnaud is actually pretty quick for a catcher. He doesn't look like he would be a great athlete, but he is a great athlete.
Yeah.
It's weird.
I enjoy how average looking in every single way.
Yeah. He would have made a good spy for sure. Yeah. Cause he's kind of good looking, but not too good looking. He's like an average body, but he's super athletic. But yeah, he's, Murphy is better at everything else. He's a better home run hitter. He's way better defensively.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a hose.
Did you see d'Arnaud's strike him out, throw him out last night?
Yeah. Yeah. That's,
or was that last night or 2 nights ago? Either way.
It was,
I think that was game one.
Yeah. It was 2 nights ago, because yesterday he came in after Klenick hit for Trump.
God damn. That was like from his knees.
Yeah.
I didn't know he had it in him.
Yeah. Well, maybe he's been working on it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not concerned about that. I mean, it'll be good to get one of the problems. Last year going to the playoffs, I think, was that d'Arnaud didn't have many at-bats, and they were trying to get him at-bats in September.
Yeah.
Because he, partly because of Murphy, but also he was injured a lot during the season. So I think getting him going early in the year, that's good. And to be honest, Murphy only playing 110 or 120 games is probably not the worst thing in the world either as a catcher going into playing, because long season after long. Now, he's not in Oakland anymore. You actually get the playoffs now.
Right, right.
So it's like an extra 15 games a year if you're lucky.
I like we said too, d'Arnaud is, I think, one of our favorite big moment batters.
He is, yeah. He is. And he's also one of the better clubhouse guys in baseball. Like, I think very similar to what's his nuts that just got a managerial job.
Steven Vogt. Yeah.
D'Arnaud's going to be a manager somewhere within 2 years of leaving Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
There's no doubt in my mind. He's a baseball guy. And it's good to have people like that on your team. I still think they kind of need a spark plug. despite having a bunch of Latinx dudes. Yeah. I think they need a – I think Jock Peterson would have been nice to get somebody like that at least.
There was a
– you need your Craig Counsell. You need your Jock Peterson, you know.
Yeah. There was a guy on one of the MLB Network shows. I almost put this in the rundown, but I was kind of like, whatever, but I'll just mention it now. Who was like, Mike Trout's going to the Braves by the end of the year.
No, he's not.
I was like, is that where, spark plug?
Where is he going to play?
Yeah, I know, right?
That's, I mean, not that he couldn't unseat the combination of Kalenic and Duvall and left, but I wouldn't replace Michael Harris with him.
No.
By any stretch. I mean, younger, more durable, and he plays the position better, frankly.
At this point, certainly, yeah.
And, I mean, they're both great players, but come on, man. But, you know, shit. If they want to add him to left field, I'll allow it.
I'll deal with it.
But then, you know, the next note here is how the Braves are pretty much firing on all cylinders. That platoon of Kalenic and Duvall is doing pretty well.
Kalenic currently the major league batting leader with the average over 500. Obviously, it's five games, but he looks great. And Duvall's just doing Duvall shit. Duvall and Darnell are almost like the same person to me. Just these like quiet, nondescript white dudes who will make contact exactly when you need them to make contact. Yeah.
They're combined 9-for-21 right now, which is a .429 batting average. I doubt that's going to sustain.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're and they both play really good defense.
Kalenic had a great catch the other day.
To be honest, man, I think he's going to be an all-star this year. I think through April, they're probably going to limit his exposure to lefties, but I think he's going to be, I think the platoon will mostly be over and Duvall will be spelling people throughout the entire outfield in a couple of weeks, I think, to be honest, because this kid's locked in. Like, whatever they did with his swing, it isn't just, like, he's barreling the ball a lot more now, and he's not swinging stupid shit, and he's barreling the ball.
Dude, Kevin Seitzer is a fucking wizard.
Yeah, I mean,
hopefully,
it's weird how mediocre ball players turn into the bit. Like, Bobby Cox was a hump when he played. He was like a middling catcher in the Toronto Blue Jays organization, and I think we've talked about this before, but there have been great ball players who are great managers. Willie Mays was not one of them. He was a terrible manager.
No.
Lou Piniella was a pretty decent manager.
He was a good ball player.
Dusty Baker, obviously.
Good ball player. Great manager.
Joe Torre.
I mean, Joe Torre was an MVP.
He was an MVP in, what, 80 for the Braves, I think, or was it the Cardinals? I think it was for the Braves in like 84 or something like that.
I think it was earlier than that, but it was.
Maybe it was like, 79. Yeah. If it was 79, then it was with the Cardinals. But yeah, there's been some.
Frank Robinson was all right.
He was okay as a manager. It's way more common for just some dumb to be a great manager.
Yeah.
Some guy that just didn't have the physical skills. I still think that we need a better manager, to be honest, but whatever. We'll see how it goes this year.
Right.
But everything else is going pretty well. Ozuna's like got three home runs already.
Ozuna's pretty funny to me. Like he's just doing Ozuna stuff, and I'll take this, honestly. If he wants to hit .230, barely walk, hit home runs and slug over .600, like that's fine out of the DH. Yeah.
I mean, he's on pace for 97 home runs this year, so we'll see how it goes.
That'll be all right. Did you see the Fangraphs article the other day about how the DH is the only like the fifth best hitting position in the lineup for across the major leagues in the last 2 years?
It makes sense. I mean, there's not enough great hitters that don't play a position in baseball to expect every team, especially not now that both leagues have the DH. That's just not.
Yeah.
Even, I mean, when throughout all of major league history was the DH the best hitter on the team? It's really rare. Like, I can't think of any time.
Like Ortiz on the Red Sox, or I mean, even Edgar Martinez was there with fucking, you know, Griffey and A-Rod and stuff, so he wasn't even the best hitter on the team.
But those Red Sox teams had Manny Ramirez as well, right?
On the tail end, Ortiz was the best hitter. Like, when it was more like Ortiz, Pedroia. Yeah. I agree with you that Manny Ramirez was definitely better than Ortiz in that, like, 04.
I mean, that dude had fucking testosterone leaking out of his ears. It's like coming out of every hole.
In Manny Ramirez's defense, I don't know that he was ever aware that steroids were being put into his body.
He's not aware of much, probably.
Yeah, like they could have just been giving him something. Like, if there's one person who's like, I was tricked into taking steroids, mm-hmm. if Manny Ramirez said that, I'd be like, I believe him. Put him in the hall. I believe him.
Yeah, and there's like our key hitters. To me, our key hitters, obviously Acuna and Olson Riley. But Harris is usually a good bellwether if the team's doing well or not. Mm. And this is the best start he's gotten off to so far.
Yeah.
Remember when he first got called up 2 years ago, he kind of struggled a little bit. And then last year he got off to a slow start, had some injuries early in the season. This season he's come out full bore, looks good. He's seeing the ball well. He's walking more than before.
Yeah.
He's seeing pitches well.
And he's still getting... He does not have a solid spot in the lineup. They've moved him around.
Yeah, he's six or seven most of the time, but he's man. I think he's a legit candidate for MVP this year. To be honest,
you think so?
If he's a 30-30 guy and has
with that defense
with the defense that you play, if he's a 30-30 guy, Gold Glover, he'll be a Silver Slugger if he's 30-30. How do you not?
Yeah,
consider him. Right?
I think. Trying to think who the best center fielder is in the National League hitting wise, because that's who he'd be competing against for a Silver Slugger, right? It's not just outfield.
Yeah, that's right. It's by position typically.
So I mean obviously probably the best hitting center fielder right now would be Julio Rodriguez with the Mariners, or at least, you know, potential, mm-hmm. whatever. Trout is still in center field, I suppose.
Yeah, but you're not going to get more than 130 games out of him, so he won't qualify probably.
And anyway, both those guys are in the AL, so it's really, I don't think there's a lot of depth at center field in the National League off the top of my head. The Dodgers outfield is kind of whatever. Mookie Betts is a shortstop now, so he's not...
You've got Cody Bellinger with Chicago. Yeah. We'll see how he goes.
He blasted a homer, I think, the other day.
Yeah, but, you know, who fucking knows with that guy? I hope he has a great season, to be honest. But other than that, like, in the National League, I'm looking at the top hit leaders so far. Michael A. Taylor's one of them. He's not going to...
Yeah, that's not staying.
Yeah, that won't be a thing. And then right behind him is Harris. That Korean dude from San Francisco, I don't know enough about him to say, but I don't think that's going to extend too far to the season. And then you're like Will Benson, Jackson Merrill, Cody Bellinger, Brenton Doyle. Eddie Rosario is playing center for the
Good
Nationals
Lord.
Right now.
What?
There's the starting center fielder for the Nationals right now is Eddie Rosario.
That's
which is wild.
Fucking insane. Oh, I have one, actually. I think Jazz Chisholm is the center fielder for the Marlins.
He is, yeah.
So that's a...
Doesn't play great defense, though.
But Silver Slugger he can challenge for, certainly.
And maybe, to be honest, James Altman might be an outside candidate for that as well. That kid can fucking play. But anyways... I'm sorry. Victor Robles has been playing center field, but he's been hurt. So, yeah, Rosario's been getting the starts out there.
That's goddamn insane.
That is pretty weird.
It was bad enough watching him in left. I don't.
Yeah. Maybe center's his natural position.
At one point, maybe.
It's like some people track the ball differently. I don't know. But anyways, everything else is going really well for the Braves, aside from the weird start for Fried, which I'm not concerned about. And then, you know, Sean Murphy being hurt, that's not great.
Sucks.
That's what it is.
Yeah, and honestly, we should probably be, we're 3-2 right now. We should probably be 4-2 had the game gone on today, mm-hmm. which is, that's all you want to do, man. Win series, win series, win series, win series. I don't care. I mean, sweeps are nice and everything, but I'm not going to, I don't care about losing to anyone once, no matter how bad they are, like the White Sox. Like that game last night, I was just like, well, it's going to, whatever. Shit's going to happen. And also, it's like, fuck them, 38 degrees there. I can't hold that very much against them. I am excited for this weekend series against the Diamondbacks, though, in part because I don't have to watch the first three innings on my phone while I'm putting a child to bed. I really enjoy the West Coast games for that.
Yeah.
Get yelled at for giving Rory screen time at fucking 7:30. The blue light really fucks him up. He can't walk so good.
That's his problem.
It's not mine. No, the Braves are on. I don't know what this fucking kid wants. Yeah, I don't have any complaints. The bullpen has been fine. I felt bad for Pierce Johnson last night, honestly. He lost the game. Or they were losing, but they kind of sealed the game against mm-hmm. Pierce, but he got dinked and dunked. I don't know if you watched that.
Yeah.
He looked good, though. I mean, his stuff looks good.
Yeah, he's, I mean, you know, his curveball was sharp.
Yeah.
Right? In a cold environment, that's good. That's a good sign. That means he's got a feel for it already. It's unusual to have a good feel for your breaking pitches this early in the season. So he's ahead of schedule. So I'm not worried about him at all.
No, I think he threw in that inning. I think he only threw two fastballs. He was just letting it rip with the curveball. Yeah. I love him. I'm so happy we get a full season of Pierce Johnson.
Yeah. And then, Nutsack looks like the old Nutsack of old.
Yeah.
He's got a 12 K per nine. No runs and I think three appearances, maybe two appearances so far.
Yep.
He looks good. Mentor looks good.
Just get a lead. That's all I care about. Get to October and get leads. That's when we lose those games with the Phillies, right? It's fucking, they score first and we play scared.
Yeah, they're that's one of the things about having I understand the argument. And Ryan Spader makes this argument all the time that your best hitter should hit first because they're going to get 30-some more bats a year, right? But there is something to be said for having a guy that can get on base, like a guy who – a leadoff hitter especially who it doesn't occur to him that he needs to drive the ball. He's just going to get on base no matter what he has to do.
That's his mission.
And then steal the base. Now – Ronald Acuna has that ability. He's got a great batting eye. He has good bat control, and he's fast as fuck. We know he can steal bases.
Yeah.
It's like, can Seitzer get in his head? Because this is an important thing in the playoffs, going into that first at-bat in the playoffs and saying, I'm getting on base, and I'm causing some fucking problems. Right. You know what I mean?
You do not need a leadoff home run.
Yeah.
Now granted.
Love a leadoff home run, but what I like more is having the opposing pitcher in the stretch as early and as often as fucking possible, right?
Yeah.
So this isn't a talent thing or a hole in their lineup. This is just like, hey, we see the problem. Fucking nudge these guys in the right direction. Because now you've got Albies hitting behind him, too, who is a great situational hitter, right? Albies is the kind of guy.
And if a lefty's on the mound.
Yeah, especially, right? Like, he's going to drive the ball. He's been driving the ball.
Yeah, he's righties too, right?
He's just great at getting the barrel on the ball. But, like, it's as a situational hitter, hitting the ball on the ground the other way is something he can do from either side of the plate, so it doesn't matter who's pitching. Now you're set up for that stuff to get a guy scoring position for, you know, your 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 guys who are all fucking all-stars, right?
Right, right.
You know, I just think playoff-wise, I think it's a different ball game, right? And this is something that you can do during the season. I pick a random game in April and be like, hey, this is a play. Today's a, just tell everybody in the locker room, today's a playoff game. I need you guys and like make it one of these games against Arizona. They're a fucking potential NLCS opponent right there.
Or wild card, first round opponent.
Could be either way, right? So it's like, okay, today's a fucking playoff game. Every run matters.
Yeah.
Every one we score and every one we give up matters. Play like it fucking your life depends. Play like this is the last game of the season. And try some of these different methodologies out. I think having that experience mentally going into the game, Acuna going into the game, be like, all right, I'm going to cause some problems. I'm not just going to fucking hit the ball hard. I'm getting on base. I don't give a fuck what I have to do, right? And I'm going to steal that second base, and I'm going to, you know, do whatever else, and the guys behind him will fall in line. I think that could be a very good exercise to prepare for the playoffs because I don't give a fuck about the regular season. I love it. I'll watch every game this year. But that's... If we win 120 games this year, I don't give a
shit. Doesn't matter.
Win the chip.
Doesn't fucking matter. They were talking about that. I was reading an article on ESPN this morning about the most fun teams to watch this year. There's a ranking of watchability per teams, and the Braves were third. And they said something like they're threatening for their second time in the Braves' existence where they've won 100 games 3 years in a row. And that first time was 97, 98, and 99. And my first thought was like, yeah, those were really fucking frustrating years looking back. especially 97, because that 97 team might have been the best team we had in the whole run of the 90s.
During that run, for sure, yeah. who's 1 and 2, I would guess, L.A. and Baltimore?
Yes. Yeah, I believe so.
I disagree with Baltimore. L.A., though, I mean, I don't know. It depends on where you are in the lineup. If it's 7, 8, 9 in their lineup, they suck.
Yeah.
But whatever. They have the best 1, 2, 3 of all time.
Yeah.
I would like to see the numbers on that. We'll wait till the end of the season. Hopefully everybody will stay relatively healthy and we'll get full seasons out of Betts, Ohtani, and Freeman. Mm-hmm. And I just want to see what the numbers they put up are, because it's got to be a batting average, combined batting average of somewhere around 315, probably 305 to 315 in that range.
Yeah.
And probably 35 to 40 home runs each.
Yeah.
Right? And then 100 to 120 RBI each.
And probably 100 to 120 runs, too.
Yeah. So it's going to be like late 90s numbers.
Yeah.
From the Indians or the Red Sox or somebody like that, right? Or the Yankees, maybe.
It's just unfair. I watch a lot of I end up watching a lot of Dodgers games because you know, they're just West Coast, right?
Yeah.
So they're on after the Braves are on. And
other inning, you're going to see a fucking generational talent bat.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like, how could you not watch those games? That makes sense.
Mookie Betts, I think I was texting you last night. I was pretty drunk. But was that last night I was texting
you?
Yeah. And I was just watching Betts. It's like, I don't understand how he's that strong.
Yeah, he's not tall. What is he, like 5'9" or
he's
some shit?
He's not tall and he's skinny.
I think he's 5'9", like 170, something like that.
Yeah, he's 5'9", which means he's not 5'9".
Right, yeah.
Like 5'9 in cleats.
But he's got not just – so he definitely has rotational strength. He's able to generate power in the batter's box. We've seen smaller guys do that before. I mean, fucking Ozzy Albies is one of them. Although his is more from putting the barrel on the ball.
He barrels. But, does he swing a big bat?
Yeah, 35-inch bat, okay. Yeah. But then Marcus Giles is one. He was a tiny little fella, but he like was a big power.
Gorilla kind of. Yeah.
But Betts is mostly rotational power, but it isn't like the rotational power translates into every part of his game because he throws very well as well from every position. Just put the catcher's gear on him and see if he can do that too at this point.
Fucking for real. Like, what he else? Probably like, pitch.
He can definitely pitch.
Yeah.
Right? Because he probably did that in high school.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we were talking about it last night. I think it's either him or Acuña is the best player in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It would be hard to determine. I think Acuña probably has a higher ceiling, but doesn't have the same kind of intensity and drive that Betts has.
I think mentally, Betts clearly has the edge over Acuña. Now, granted, he's also 5-6 years older than Acuña.
So. Yeah, so we'll see. Well, he's 31, yeah, so we'll see. But anyways, yeah, we're starting to get back into, and look, there are always great ball players, but there are some people that it's just like a joy to watch them play because they're so good.
Yeah.
Like Griffey, Bonds, they were like that. Like anytime they were on, I mean, I know he was chasing home run records, but there was a period, even when he wasn't chasing specific records, that ESPN would break into every Barry Bonds at bat. Yeah, like, fucking knows if he's probably going to hit a home run right
just
now.
Just going to do something insane.
Like Freeman's like that. Betts is like that. Otani's like that on both sides, like pitching and hitting. Acuña's like that. I'm guessing, my personal opinion based on what I've seen, Jackson Holliday is going to be like that when he comes up to the bigs. I mean, the ball just sounds differently when it comes off of his bat. It's a different sound that it makes. So we're coming back into an era, and I think it's like Kobe's second run after the Spurs bored us to death for a while. It's like we're coming back into an era where it's like a genuine pleasure to watch baseball games again.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's just because of the rule changes. I think it's because of stars.
I agree. I think there's great star power. It's honestly funny to me because it's almost like, speaking of tiny guys, Jose Altuve popped up on my Mookie Betts height search.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, he's Altuve is going to fucking, he'll definitely have the most home runs ever for a guy that's 5'5".
Ever.
Because he's listed at 5'6", and we know what that means.
Yeah. But it almost feels like Betts is underappreciated. To be quite honest, like it's weird because he played for Boston and now LA.
Mm.
Like he hasn't been playing in Milwaukee or something. I don't think people really understand how insanely good this guy is. I mean, he
at everything. Like he's a great base runner. He plays multiple positions and at an all-star caliber at each one of the positions. And then he's one of the top five hitters in baseball as well.
Yeah. I mean, remember in the 2020 NLCS, he robbed Freeman's home run that kind of just ended that. I mean, he made the play when he fucking needed to. It was a miracle he didn't punish us in 2021. He was held relatively in check. And I think, wasn't he the last out of that Tyler Matzek inning, the nutsack inning?
Yeah, he was, yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah. I mean, just, he is, I'm more scared of him than I am of anyone else at the plate, I think, right now, when we're playing somebody. Like, he, it'd either be him or probably Bryce Harper.
Harper, or Freeman.
Yeah.
One of those guys. Because Freeman's just so hard to pitch to. There's no holes in his swing. You can get him out, but if you miss by an inch, he's going to fucking, because you can get him out by jamming him up and in. But if you miss, he's going to, that ball's gone. Yeah. Right. So, and Harper, man, what a day for him yesterday.
Yeah, no shit.
He's the first guy ever to come into a game with no home runs and leave the game with 3 home runs. So that's pretty good. He's another guy that is like, part of it is his intensity and how much he loves fucking playing baseball.
Yeah.
Like he that's how I felt when I played back in the day. So I relate to that a lot. I really enjoy watching him play, and I'm glad that he's playing first base now, because I feel like we're going to get 150 games out of him now instead of whatever. He hasn't played 150 games since 2019.
So is how many
games? He's only played 150 games or more 3 times in his entire career, actually.
How many fucking games did he play when he won the MVP the second time in 21?
141.
All right, good enough, I guess. He shouldn't have been the MVP, but whatever.
No.
And then this weekend, I'll do the sponsor real quick before we get into the picks. We're going to make some picks. We do them on MyBookie. Go to MyBookie.com. Use the promo code DrinkinBros to double your first deposit up to $1,000. You put in $1,000, they will give you a free $1,000. Put in $50, they'll give you a free $50. I guess whatever you can afford, they will double up to $1,000. We're running baseball parlay picks all season long. I dropped a big one today. We'll see how it goes. But I have one for this weekend as well. Have you checked out the weekend's games? There's a couple. It's not as there's some series or sets of series where you're like, oh my god, there's like 9 to choose from. This weekend a little more muted, I would say.
Yeah, I think the Friday games are what I was looking at.
Friday's what I liked as well.
Yeah, like Strider's going against the Diamondbacks against their number 5 guy, I believe, right? 4 or 5, maybe?
Yeah, it's back end of the rotation, for sure.
So that's a good one. Lido's going for the Rays against the Rockies in Colorado. That's a good one as well. I feel like that's a pretty safe one, although we'll, you know, gamble at your own risk.
Yeah.
Yankees, Blue Jays at Yankees. Stroman's going for them. He looked as sharp as he's looked in his career in his first game. There's a lot of good games to bet on Friday. A lot of decent parlays. Maybe split them up into chunks and bet them individually.
The 4 I like the most. I might add the Yankees over the Blue Jays to this. But Dodgers over Cubs, Rays over Rockies all day. Phillies over the Nats, and then Braves, D-backs. I love Strider going against the back of their rotation. Braves over D-backs. I mean, the D-backs are good, so that could be, that's a little risky, but I like them to win with Strider. They win a lot of games. So Strider won 20 games last year, so they won a lot of games he pitched, and he got credit for them.
Yeah.
But the year before, they won almost every game he pitched, whether or not he got the win or not. So they have a long history of winning games that Spencer Strider pitches in.
Yeah, and then there's that Phillies-Nats game. Patrick Corbin, I don't know how the fuck he's still in Major League Baseball. Yeah. It's like he had, what was it? Let me check. I think his ERA was 6 last year, if I'm not mistaken.
He's terrible. And if Eddie Rosario's roaming center field.
Yeah. His ERA 2 years ago with 31 start, like full seasons, this is his last 3 seasons with 31 or 32 starts, 582, 631, and 520 ERAs.
Yeah. Love that for the Phillies.
I mean, it's, the Phillies are going to enjoy that. He puts a lot of people on base. They have a pretty patient lineup. And the only concern maybe is that Nola's going for them, but he's not. I don't think he's going to give up 7 runs in back-to-back games.
No, yeah. I thought that Nola was a little hybrid, but Nola's going to have some good starts too. He doesn't lack in talent. He's just kind of not the guy he used to be.
Yeah.
And also just the Nats are fucking terrible. Like we've already said, Corbin's pitching. Their second most, maybe third most important defensive player is Eddie Rosario, who I love, but he has no business roaming center field. So that's great to me. And then honestly, the Dodgers are just a safe bet most days.
Yeah. And then there's another game, Padres at Giants. Keep an eye on this game. Not for gambling, just if you're a baseball fan. Jordan Hicks maybe has figured it out at this point. Jordan Hicks, the guy who throws 103 miles per hour all the time.
Yeah.
So has had real problems locating throughout his entire career, mostly as a reliever. He's gotten some starts here and there with St. Louis before, and then got traded to Toronto last year, and his WHIP went from like a career 1.5 down to 108, and in his first game this year it's 0.8, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm really interested in it because Padres have a pretty decent lineup. I'm really interested in this game in particular to see how he pitches in this game and if it's consistent against a better lineup than what he faced in his first start, because there's nobody in baseball that has more talent than Jordan Hicks. And his first game was against the Padres, right? So he's going to go back and pitch against that same lineup again within basically a week and a half period.
Yeah.
If he can go back and perform like that again against a pretty decent lineup like that, I think that's a good sign that he's made a turn in his career. And then the Giants are fucking like a real team. Because they've got Blake Snell and Logan Webb as well, right?
Yeah.
And then that other guy, what's his name? Rogers, maybe, is one of them.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
They have built that team. I forget their general manager's name. It's like Middle Eastern something, but he builds really interesting teams.
Harrison, that's the other guy.
Okay.
That's really good. Yeah, it's like, man, their offense is just okay, right?
Solaire had a dong last night. I was watching that game for a minute.
Yeah, they brought Nick Ahmed over from Arizona. He's not much of a hitter, but he plays excellent defense. So they've got good up the middle defense, which is kind of characteristic. I mean, they've had Crawford for years there, so that's
Crawford a Cardinal now.
Yeah, it's so weird. But they have good up the middle defense. Conforto is back off an injury. He looks great. He didn't play last year really. Mm-hmm. He looks fucking great. So they've got a lot of bargain dudes. Jorge Soler and Matt Chapman are the only two like stars in this offense.
Yeah.
Like stars, people that are getting paid. But it's not bad. They can win. This team is as good as Arizona's team was last year, I think.
Yeah. It's right? It's a very fascinating roster building exercise. Yeah. But the rotation's great.
Yeah, the rotation's great, yeah.
Like without that's not like a I wonder what happens. Like that top three is fucking fantastic.
So it's gonna be really interesting to see what happens in the National League West.
Yeah.
And if the Padres, despite spending like $300 million on payroll, are once again not even gonna come close to making the playoffs.
They won't.
I mean, you gotta think if you're getting into the season, remember Major League Baseball does this on purpose so people can decide their own fate, but you have more division games later in the season. Usually the last, like, 9 of the last 12 or 12 of the last 15 or something like that, games will be against division rivals.
We don't play the Phillies again until July.
Yeah. Yeah. It's they do it like that on purpose, but if the Padres are like 15 or 20 games out by August, are they going to start selling people? You have to at this point, right?
Yeah.
Because it's you've tried it three times with this particular model and failed miserably every single time, mm-hmm. right? Now, we know they're not going to trade Tatis Jr. I think Machado would be the one to go.
Yeah. Because they've got Bogaerts.
Bogaerts, yeah.
Yeah, Bogaerts and Tatis Jr.
I think Bogaerts' contract sucks, so they're not getting rid of that one. But I think Machado is still... He's one of the best third basemen in baseball.
Yep.
As much as I hate that motherfucker.
He'd be useful somewhere, certainly.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. But, yeah, there's a lot of good games this weekend. Go bet them on my bookie. There's good games on Saturday and Sunday as well, but good games to watch more so than the bet on. I think Friday is a good parlay day.
Friday seemed like the best betting day to me. I'll drop that parlay in the Drinking Bros Sports Facebook group. Join it if you haven't already. That's all I got for today.
Yep. Fuck off.